Hi, thanks for having me on your show. My name is Deborah Kahn, and along with my family, we're the founders and owners of Navarro Vineyards. I run the winery with my husband, Ted Bennett, and my two terrific grown children, Sarah Kahn Bennett and Aaron Kahn Bennett. To learn more about our winery or to visit us online, we are at www.navarrowine.com. And we would be delighted to see anyone in person, too, if you're lucky enough to come visit the Anderson Valley.
Welcome to Wine and Dine. My name is Lynn Creelo-Chamberlain, host. You're listening to iWine Radio. If I was going to move to California and work at a winery or vineyard, the tops on my list would be Anderson Valley, although I really don't like the drive from Sonoma up to Anderson Valley because I have severe motion sickness. But I love Anderson Valley. They make all the kind of wines that I love that I could drink every day. Alsace varieties is our conversation today with Deborah Kahn of Navarro Vineyards. Navarro Vineyards will be participating, of course, in the annual Alsace Varietals Festival on February 8th and 9th, and they are participating with their 2012 dry Gewürztraminer, their Pinot Gris, white Riesling, Muscat, and a blended wine, Edelsvicker, and a special treat. They're also going to be pouring their 2011 white Riesling Special Select. Deborah, thank you so very much for joining us today on Wine and Dine, and I just love everything that Navarro does. The Gewürztraminer juice, non-alcoholic juice, is delicious. And the Verjus, nobody makes a Verjus anymore. It's just wonderful that you do that.
Well, thanks very much for having me, Lynn. We've been making Gewürztraminer for 40 years now, which is a little hard to believe. We started making Gewürztraminer in the early 70s because we felt like no one was really growing Gewürztraminer in the right climate in California. So we searched out a really cool growing region, and you can't get much cooler and foggier in California than the Anderson Valley.
Do you ever get snow up there?
Well, it's not a regular occurrence, but usually there's a dusting two or three times a year. And this year, when it's so dry, we've had frost every morning. It's been 24, 25 for day after day after day.
And that's not a problem for the vines. That's not too low.
Well, it's getting a little dicey. We are concerned about it, but I think every farmer in California is concerned about the lack of water and the really cold temperatures we've had.
Do you have any turbines or any kind of blowers in the vineyard to mix up the air?
Well, we do. It's interesting. We have always used water to frost protect in the past with overhead sprinklers, but we are so concerned with the lack of water this year that we have installed four large turbines that are wind machines. And provided there's an inversion, meaning that the air is warmer up above, the turbines should save us thousands of gallons of water this spring when we frost protect.
Do you use drip irrigation in the vineyard now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think almost every farmer who has a conscience has to go to drip at this point because water is probably one of the biggest political issues in agriculture today.
So the 2012 vintage wines that you're pouring, are they also the result of drought, of not enough water in the vineyard?
Well, it's interesting. There was a drought but for the last 3 years, but nothing compared to this year. So 2012 was actually a beautiful harvest for us. We had sufficient water. We don't like to water too much. We usually only have 3 to 4 irrigations a season, but it certainly is pretty mandatory for your younger vines. So 2012 was just one of those years where during the harvest season we didn't have an early storm, which is what usually closes us down and gives us a lot of anxiety.
I remember when I was interviewing somebody about a month or so ago, and there was a tremendous wind storm that just happened the night before.
Yeah, every day is different when you're a farmer. There's no doubt about that.
So tell me, how do you pronounce the Muscat? Do you say Muscat Blanc or Blanc, or do you say Muscat?
I say Muscat Blanc, but I'm not not really sure if that's the proper way to say it, but that's what I have used always.
There are so few people making Muscat Blanc, white Muscat, and it's such a joy. It's such a joy to drink. It's a lovely, lovely wine.
Well, it's a funny thing because we have been making Muscat for quite a while, and we like to make it in a dry style. But again, it's the popularity has really come from young people who have started drinking fizzy Muscat that's sweet, and so that's caused a kind of renaissance in interest in the grape. We're hopeful that it's something like white Zinfandel, where people will start with a sweet wine and then realize they like to drink something that's a little bit drier. And
yeah.
We think that the Muscat Blanc, which is also Muscat a Petit Grand, has smaller berries than the Muscat that's grown in the Central Valley, is a wine that is aromatic and heady, and when you make it in a dry style, it can be matched with foods beautifully.
So the Pinot Gris, talk to us about the flavor profile, because Pinot Gris, people maybe not as familiar with Gris. Talk to us about Navarro, because here with Anderson Valley, it's going to be a different animal than way farther south.
Right. Well, for me, Pinot Gris is all about texture, where a grape like Muscat or Gewürztraminer is all about aroma. Pinot Gris is part of the Pinot Noir family, and in fact, we even have vines in our vineyard that will spontaneously have both red and white berries on it.
Really?
Because they are, yeah, they are such closely related grape varieties. So Pinot Gris was not part of our original vineyard, but we figured since we were doing so well with Pinot Noir in the Anderson Valley, we should try another grape that does well in Alsace.
Right.
And so our Pinot Gris, again, we make in a fairly rich style. I think a lot of Pinot Grigios are popular because they're quite dry and steely, especially the Italian ones.
Yeah.
And we make our Pinot Gris the same way we make our Gewürztraminer. We put it into large German oak ovals of about 800 to 1,000 gallons. We have custom put stainless steel plates within the German oak ovals or French oak ovals so we can keep them at a cool temperature. And,
wow.
Germany, you would have natural cool air,
right,
or in Alsace at night. And since we can't always depend on that in California and often have warm weather during the fermentation period, we added these custom-made plates to go inside our ovals. The reason we use the ovals is to get better texture in the wine. The wine sits on its lees until the springtime, and so you get a more viscous, richer, rounder style of wine than you would normally expect from an Italian-style Pinot Grigio.
Riesling is one of your benchmarks, and you deliberately label it as white Riesling, not Riesling, or you Johannesburg Riesling. Talk to us about that.
Right. Now, actually, you have me stumped. Do I say white Riesling on my label?
It says white Riesling.
White Riesling, right.
Yeah. And well, I always admired that you did that.
Well, that's technically the name of the grape. There are a lot of different Riesling varieties, and white Riesling is considered the more noble of the Riesling varieties. It is the grape that is grown in Schloss Johannesburg in Germany, and Johannesburg Riesling became a marketing term, I think, in the 70s. And so we prefer to use the kind of technically correct name. So that's why we have gone with the white Riesling.
The Special Select 2011 White Riesling, how much sweetness is there in that? You don't have to tell us exact, just like compare it to another beverage.
Okay. Well, it is quite sweet. I'm guessing right now, because I don't have the specs in front of me, that it's about 18 or 19% residual sugar.
Wow.
Well, we pick the grapes when the berries are actually almost completely affected with botrytis.
Yes.
Which is also known as the noble rot. There are other rots we don't want. So when we make a cluster select wine, we have something of a risk each year because sometimes we end up with funky rots, not noble rots.
Yeah.
And we actually generally pay pickers according to how much they pick, by the bucket or by the ton.
Okay.
In this case, pickers are told to slow down, and we'll pay you by the hour and pay you generously because we only want those clusters that have botrytis picked.
Mm.
The grapes come in, they're raisiny-like, they're shriveled, they look terrible, but they add this unctuous honey quality to the wine that is really, really special.
Deborah Kahn of Navarro Vineyards, we thank you so very much for joining us this week on Wine and Dine. Not only are the wines so delicious, delicious across the board, but you're open to the public. People can make reservations and come up and visit you.
Absolutely, and thank you so much.
We will have links up for you to learn more, and you're listening to Wine and Dine. Listening to iWine Radio.